Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
You know your business better than anyone. So when you need finance to grow, you deserve a lender who understands too. Responsible finance providers look at the whole picture, the story behind the numbers, your plan and what you want to achieve. Our fair, flexible finance, decided by real people, not a computer, helps thousands of businesses every year. Find out more at findingfinance.org.uk. Finding Finance is a trading style of the Community Development Finance Association, which is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. A regulated credit broker and not a lender. We provide information only in respect of community development finance institutions and other finance providers, which may be available to you from our approved panel of lenders. Finding Finance.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Morning everybody, James Fagan here with, thank goodness it's folk, 2 hours of folk radio here on Sheffield Live Radio, around the world on www.sheffieldlive.org, or perhaps you're listening after the broadcast on Mixcloud. Wherever you're joining me from, you are very welcome to this special episode. And although spring has sprung and the sun is shining, it's been a week of sad news in the world of folk music, both in England and in Ireland. In England, we lost the great Dave Shepherd, fiddle player and old dance expert, as in an expert in old dances. Dave unfortunately passed away while Blows a Bella were on tour, and they mourn his passing very greatly. And I speak to Andy Cutting from Blows a Bella about Dave Shepherd, the fiddle player, the dance instructor, the old architecture expert, and the colleague in Blows a Bella. In the second half, I will be talking to Barry Kerr, the fantastic Irish singer-songwriter who has just won the Folk Album of the Year award. But I also want to pay tribute to Dolores Keane. Dolores Keane is regarded as one of the greatest interpreters of Irish traditional song of all time, and we were shocked and saddened to hear of her death earlier in the week at the age of 72. There has been a massive outpouring, obviously, of grief for the loss of Dolores Keane, and I'm going to start the program today with a tribute to her wonderful music. All of that and so much to look forward to in the program. You're going to have to be with me for 2 hours because I've got so much music to play here on Thank Goodness It's Folk.
As I went a-walking one morning in May to view yon fair valleys and mountains so gay, I was thinking on those flowers all doomed to decay as they bloom around ye bonny, bonny Sleevgallen braes. How oft in the morning with my dog and my gun I like to go roaming for joy and for fun, but those days they are all over and I must go away. So farewell unto ye, bonnie, bonnie, sleep gallant breast. How oft of an evening and the sun in the west, I roved hand in hand with the one I love best. But the hopes of youth are vanished, and now I'm far away. So farewell unto ye, bonnie, bonnie, sleep gallant breast. It was not the want of employment at home that caused all the sons of old Ireland to roam, but those tyrannizing landlords, they would not let us stay. So farewell unto ye, bonnie, bonnie, sleep gallant breast. But the rents were getting higher, and we could no longer stay. So farewell unto ye, bonnie, bonnie, sleep gallant breast.
That was, of course, the unmistakable voice of Dolores Keane, one of the greatest singers to ever come out of Ireland, and somebody that everyone I've spoken to over the last couple of days who loves music will be mourning the loss of. Dolores was just 72 years old. She was one of the most important recording artists in Irish music history. She had an incredible voice, as you've just heard, which was equally comfortable singing in Irish as in English, comfortable with the tradition, lived the tradition, partly through her own aunties, Rita and Sarah Keane, who raised her in the Galway area when she was very young. Music absolutely integral and inherent in her family, and also sung by her brothers, Sean and Matt. But Dolores Keane is probably the best known singer of all of them in the Keane family. You just heard a request, actually. I spoke to her former husband and longtime collaborator, John Faulkner, yesterday, and offered him my condolences. It was still a little early, and he was still fairly deep in the shock of losing Dolores Keane, to talk to the program directly. But he sends his love to everybody, and he did request that I play Sleave Gallan Braes, which you just heard from Dolores Keane, from an album she made with John and Eamon Curran called Farewell to Erin. What an extraordinary singer. There will be many things said about Dolores in many platforms, on many radio shows, I'm sure, across Ireland. There'll be documentaries and television programs about her, and I am quite certain that there have already been books written about her, and there'll be books written about her in the future. But the most important legacy we have is her extraordinary voice and her beautiful, deeply emotional and deeply sympathetic treatment of traditional Irish songs particularly. But she also had some huge hits with songs like Caledonia and Galway Bay. And she was also a founder member of De Dannan, as well as the music she made for years with her husband John Faulkner, and the music she made as a soloist. Words are almost inadequate to describe a voice as good as Dolores Keane's, and by far the best thing to do is to just sit back and listen, as I've been doing to Dolores Keane since I was very, very young, absolutely up there with one of my all-time favourite singers, and I know that that will be the case for many of you as well. So, an incredible legacy that she leaves, and an incredible voice. Let's hear her now with De Dannan, with one of the songs that broke De Dannan onto a big world stage. And this is Rambling Irishman, led by Dolores Keane with De Dannan in a live recording. It's fabulous.
I am a rambling Irishman. In Ulster I was born, and man is the happy hours I spend on the banks of sweet Loch Erin. For to live poor I could not endure, as others of my station, to American
and left this Irish nation. My tan-tan-na-na, tan-tan-na-na, my tan-tan-na-na-na. Darling, from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till the break of day next morning. But when that we were going to part, we linked in each other's arms. You may be sure and very sure it wounded both our charms. Tan-tan-na-na, tan-tan-na-na, right tan-tan-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na- heart. I dreamt about my Nancy. I dreamt I held her in my arms, and well, she pleased my fancy. But when I woke out of my dreams, I found my lady is contented. My tantanana, tantanana, my tantanana.
It's surely an impossible task to represent the breadth of Dolores Keane's career and the depth of the emotion of her singing in just three or four tracks. You could and should dedicate hours of programming to this incredible singer. But we don't have the ability to play you more than four on any one show of any one artist, so that's what I'm going to do today. But I think one of the things I'd like to reflect on a little bit is the difficulties that Dolores faced in her life as well. She made no bones about the fact that she struggled with alcohol addiction in her life, and it was very difficult for her at times, and for long periods of her adult life, she was not able to tour. It's worth reflecting on that for a moment, to remember that the pathos and pain in her interpretation was often born of personal experience. But she had a way of connecting, I think, to everyone who listened to her that lifted them up, even though they knew that at times she struggled with that. I'm going to play you a heartbreakingly beautiful rendition of her interpretation of the McGarrigle Sisters' Heart Like a Wheel, Dolores Keane. I hope you've got your tissues ready.
Some say the heart is just like you bend it, you can't mend it. And my love for you is like a sinking ship, and my heart is on that ship out in mid-ocean. They say that death is a tragedy. It comes once, then it's over. But my only wish is for that deep, dark abyss. For what's the use of living with no true lover? And it's only love, and it's only love that can break a human being and turn him inside out. That can break a human being and turn him inside out. When harm's done, no love can be won. I know it happens frequently. What I can't understand, please God hold my hand, why it should have happened to me. And it's only love, and it's only love that can break a human being and turn him inside out. That can break a human being and turn him inside out. When you bend it, you can't mend it. And my love for you is like a sinking ship, and my heart is on that ship out in mid-ocean. And it's only love, and it's only love, and it's only love, and it's only love. And it's only love, and it's only love, and it's only love, and it's only love.
Remarkable. Beautiful. A voice that lives with you forever once you've heard it. Also, a fantastic character and a fantastic person. Everyone I've spoken to about Dolores Keane has shared memories of when they were lucky enough to be in the same room as her, whether it be a session or a concert or a green room or a backstage party. A very generous spirit, a very funny woman. And yeah, it's a huge loss, and our condolences and our love and sympathy to anybody who knew Dolores personally. I especially would like to reiterate my condolences towards the people of Galway and the surrounding area for whom Dolores was far more than a recording artist, but a friend and an inspirational singer and voice. I was talking to my wife, Nancy Kerr, about Dolores Keane, somebody we've listened to a lot together over the years, and asked her what she would like to hear. And the track that she's picked, it would be a perfectly fitting way to end my tribute to Dolores Keane in this section of Thank Goodness It's Folk. And it comes from an album she made in 1989, produced by John Faulkner, again, who I believe wrote this song, and it became the title track of the album. It's a fantastic song. It's called Lion in a Cage, and it shows another side again to Dolores, which is the defiant and vocal, politically vocal woman that she was as well as the great traditional singer. This song, of course, about Nelson Mandela and the apartheid regime. It's brilliant, and thank you to Nancy for suggesting it. I will, of course, play more Dolores Keane over the coming months on the program, as we have played her in the 12 or 13 years that we've been doing the show. So this one also goes out to my colleague, Sam Hindley. Thank you, Dolores Keane, for a beautiful, beautiful life of song.
The world is born in the African sun. Black blood flows from the white man's gun. Locked in a jail for 25 years. Held like a lion in the cage of tears.
Mandela will be free. Mandela, Nelson Mandela. Mandela will be free. Mandela, Nelson Mandela.
Let's stay with Nelson Mandela for a moment with the wonderful Hugh Masekela with Mandela, Bring Him Back Home.
Bring back Nelson Mandela.
to see him walking down the streets of South Africa.
Hey!
Tomorrow! Bring back Nelson Mandela. Bring him back home to Soweto. I want to see him walking hand in hand with Winnie Mandela.
I had a no pause bone.
Hallelujah.
I mentioned at the top of the show that we're mourning and celebrating two fantastic musicians in the first half today, the first being Dolores Keane and the second being the great English fiddle player and dance master Dave Shepherd, known and beloved to many as one of the key earliest members. Well, he joined in 1983, I believe, of Blowzabella. He made a huge contribution to that band, and right up to the end of his life was a very active workshop leader, researcher into old dances and old dance tunes, and collaborator with many other musicians as well as Blowzabella, for which I suppose he's best known. So we're going to celebrate him by playing some of his best tunes and speaking to Andy Cutting, his colleague in Blowzabella, after this. But this is probably the defining tune by Dave Shepherd, played now everywhere, the mazurka, The Origin of the World. Rest in peace, Dave Shepherd. Good morning, Andy. James here, and we are on air, so I'll just give you that warning straight up.
That's okay. it's good to know.
I always like to tell people at the beginning. This is real. Andy, first of all, condolences from everybody in the world of music, not just in England, but in France and everywhere in Europe where Blow Zabella are beloved. The loss of Dave Shepherd will resonate for thousands of people, an amazingly gifted musician, composer, part of Blow Zabella since the early 1980s, and the composer of some of your most beloved tunes. Also, a deep connection to where I'm sat right now, the Sheffield area, because he's from Yorkshire. His father famously was in Grenoside Sword, and I believe he even played a fiddle that was used for decades in Grenoside. He's so deeply connected to this area and beloved. And I know that there'll be lengthy obituaries to Dave Shepherd elsewhere, but what we're looking to do today on Thank Goodness It's Folk is ask you for some of your reminiscences about lovely Dave and about his influence as a composer and a fiddle player, and a reflection on his role in Blow Zabella, Andy, and we're really grateful for your time today.
No problem. Yeah, it was a real shock to us. We were on tour with him when he got taken ill and stuff, and sadly passed away. So, yeah, he was an incredible man, actually. He was very quiet most of the time. But he had, I think, a thing that a lot of people didn't really know until they got to know him a little bit, was that he had a phenomenal knowledge and interest in social dance, Morris dancing, and the music that it was used for. And as you said, his father's in Grenoside. I think there is actually a picture of, I think it might be Dave playing for Grenoside, which I have seen some time ago. He had a real passion for old things. He loved old architecture. If you're on the road and you saw a timber frame building, he would be in fact, he wouldn't necessarily be to stop to have a look at it. He would have already been to see it and would then tell you the history of it. And he had a phenomenal knowledge driving down through France. He'd be driving along and suddenly go, "Oh, it's very interesting, that castle, that chateau over there, because did you know that so-and-so used to live there? That was the base of this, or some battle was, put together there or something." And it just all the time. And then you'd ask, it was extraordinary. He would just start talking about, it's very interesting, this, we're going to Italy. Well, there's that village that has a tradition of a very special kind of dance, and then tell you what it was. Amazing man. Incredible.
You say he was quiet. When he wasn't talking on the road about architecture and ancient sites that you were going to see, did he keep to himself, or was he sort of very much part of the party?
No, he was a kind of quite a private man. From my experience, he was very much a family man. But he was one of those fascinating people that if you asked him about something, he wouldn't force it upon you at all, but he would know stuff about it, and he wasn't opinionated, like, "This is what I think about this," or occasionally he could do that, but mostly it go, I say, his fascination with kind of dancing, social dances, Kaylee dances, as we would think of them today. Well, he researched loads of them, and one thing that he did particularly that he was doing with Blow Zabella for some time was looking at some of these old dances and kind of resurrecting them, and kind of trying to give them a bit of new life and getting people to do some new old dances.
Yeah.
And if you asked him about that, he would tell you, where it was from, or, that it was from this area or from this town, or it was done like this, but everyone does it like this now. Yeah. And he would talk a lot about, certainly in the social dancing stuff, all this stepping that would go on in dances that seems to have mostly been lost now. And then you go, "Well, how would that go?" And he'd get up and he would show you what it was. And it was like, fantastic, you know.
Well, that is a living tradition. When you can actually, it's one thing reading about in a book or reading about in a library, but when someone like Dave is there to show you, and along with his work with, we should also mention Becky Price and Anna Pack as well, who will be sorely missing their colleague in dance. You know, to see Dave presenting it and to see him in the room and his knowledge of dance was huge, and it must have been a big part of Blowsabella too. I know that there have been many players who've come through the ranks of Blowsabella over its nearly 50 years, Dave as the fiddle player, and also as that somebody, as you're talking about, with that passion for reviving old dance styles, must have been incredibly important to the dance element of Blowsabella.
Oh, absolutely. He was key to it because he had the knowledge and the background as to, you know, why these dances existed and why they were special from this place or that place.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe Freire, you know, the other dance instructor, if you like, in Blowsabella, was only too aware of and grateful for Dave's complete encyclopedic knowledge of this stuff.
Yep.
And she'd start off teaching a dance, say, the Greer dance workshop, you know, she would start off and start teaching your thing, and then occasionally would just turn to Dave, is that right? And he'd, you know, invariably it was right, but Dave would, in fact, I can think of several occasions where he's gone, yes, it's right. Now, that's how we do it now. But we used to do it like this, or it used to be done like this. It was just beautiful. But as you say, it's absolutely keeping it alive. It's not, you know, as soon as it's on the page or on the video machine, you know, it's preserved rather than it's allowed to grow, you know.
Indeed.
He was all for that.
Andy, something that strikes me about thinking about the lineup of Blowsabella over the years, and, you know, Dave was the fiddle player, but you're in a band there where if you sit down for your average rehearsal, you're often confronted with at least one saxophone, possibly bagpipes, hurdy-gurdy, and melodeon. What was Dave's, how did he fit in there with his violin, his acoustic fiddle, and what did he have thoughts about the other instruments? Was he vocal about how it should go down?
He wasn't vocal particularly, but if he had an idea about what he loved, a speciality of his, I suppose, was that violin double stopping thing of playing chords, and he was fascinated by playing rhythmically, playing chords and stuff, which I think he worked out that when you've got a band with as diverse instruments as Blowsabella, it was like that was a texture that didn't exist. You know, box playing the chords or whatever, it doesn't sound the same as a chugging fiddle or something. And so he was one of those great musicians that just found his place in the frequencies that are, you know, Blowsabella is an incredibly dense harmonic thing.
Yes.
So to try and find your space is really difficult. You know, I've worked with many people who find their space by just playing over everything or playing louder than everything, you know, or, you know, but no, he would sit back and he would do his thing, and it was absolutely, it was glorious to play with him because when he, you know, he'd play the tunes beautifully and a very particular sound and style of playing, very often playing duck strings on the instrument. So it doesn't, you know, lots of violin players, you know, they want their metal strings and they want to be able to cut through. He wasn't interested in that.
Yeah.
He wanted the quality of sound.
Yeah.
And he heard that dense sound of Blowsabella and he built his style into that.
Sure?
I think that it, in that band, it's like everyone loved it. And so everyone, in a way, tried to make space for him to do that, you know, to shine.
Was he a prolific composer? I know that he wrote some of Blowsabella's beloved tunes, but there were many composers and are many composers in Blowsabella. How would you characterise Dave Shepherd's particular style of composition? We've already heard The Origin of the World, which is where I started this segment with. It's just an amazing tune, beloved all over the world now. But how would you talk about his approach to composition and what he produced?
As far as I know, he wasn't very prolific.
Mm.
But he was one of those characters that when he said something, he said, well, I've got a tune. I've got, you know, we'd get together for rehearsals and people would be offering up repertoire, you know, lots of things going on. And then, I'm not saying a little voice, but a little voice would say, well, I've got a thing. I don't know if it's any good at all, but, and he'd play something in the dim, distant past, you know, he, before I joined the band, you know, was he, you know, he wrote a tune called The Rose of Raby.
Indeed.
And it was, and so I wasn't there when that, but I was there when he, you know, here you go, I've written a tune. I quite like it, but I don't know if it's any good or whether it work. And then he just played Origin of the World. And it's like, okay. And then much on our last record, Tillam, you know, he just turned up with a tune. He said, I've just written this stuff. A friend of mine I played in sessions with for years and stuff. His name is Patrick, and he recently passed away. He left me his violin, and I just wrote this little tune. And it's not a complicated tune. It's a very, very simple tune.
Mm.
But I think in many ways, it's way harder to write a simple tune that's really good.
Yeah.
And he just played, he wrote this tune called Remembering Patrick on Patrick's old violin. And it was like, and everyone was just like, that's just brilliant. That's just lovely. It's simple. It's not showing off.
Yeah.
It's an honest dance tune. That's all it is. I think that was, in a way, fundamentally what Dave was as the musician, was just an honest dance musician.
Well, Andy, let's hear Remembering Patrick now.
Thank you.
Andy, that was lovely. Thank you for choosing that Dave Shepherd composition for us as we remember his life and his massive contribution, not just to Blowzabella, but to English social dance music and dance music in Europe generally. Final thoughts, Andy. I've just seen Joe Freya announce something which isn't a shock to people really, but there has been a decision to wind Blowzabella down, coinciding approximately with its 50th anniversary in about 2028. That's not related to Dave Shepherd's passing, is it?
It's not, no. We, as a band, we don't play that often, just because of the nature of our individual lives as much as anything else. And it's hard, and given the age range of the band and the work that we do, we decided that rather than petering out, doing fewer and fewer gigs and then realising we don't have any more and, does it exist anymore? We thought, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to do the thing of that you could do is gradually replace members with younger models, you know? we're not getting any younger, you know? And, you know, John Swain, who's the founder member of the band, you know, you probably won't mind me saying, well, I hope he doesn't, you know, I think he's 84 now. Yeah. And going on a 12-day tour around Europe, it's hard work. It's hard work when you're 25, you know.
Yep.
And we looked at it and went, do we want to just stop? Mm. Or do we want to try and keep going and deal with anything that happens? And we decided a year ago, I suppose, that it would make sense that we went to the band being 50 and stopping there, actually making a definitive stop.
Yep.
And unlike so many bands who definitively stop and then a year later have a reunion tour and then a year later have another reunion tour, and you know, we will not play again as Blowzabella.
Well, you know, I think that's a sound decision, and I think it's the right decision for all of you. But I also know that means at some point in 2028, there will be a last Blowzabella bell, and there will be a last dance. And I'm quite sure everyone's going to try and be there. But I also know that Dave Shepherd's memory and spirit will be in that last dance, and will be inseparable from the band forevermore.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and so when he passed, it was absolutely, we had a big conversation about whether we should just stop. and we talked a lot about it.
Mm.
And we, knowing, you know, I only knew Dave for 38 years. You know,
you young thing.
I know. Well, I've been in Blowzabella for 38 years, but, you know, great. Paul James has known Dave since he was 14 years old, you know, and it's like, and I took kind of the lead from them as well as my personal thoughts. And it was decided that no, he would be, I think if I can say this, he would be a bit pissed off if we just stopped.
For sure.
Because he wasn't able to do the gig.
Yeah.
And he would like it to do what it's decided it's going to do.
Yeah.
And so the decision was made that we are going to carry on. No, we're not going to replace Dave because he is irreplaceable.
Yeah.
And we will do the gigs that we are booked for. And yes, in the kind of, I'm guessing it'll be the first half of 2028, we will play our last gig. I can't tell you what it is because we don't actually know what it is yet.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't even go, oh, I couldn't possibly tell you. I don't know, and we don't know, but we are working on it.
Andy, I think everyone would agree that it would have been very sad and sudden if you had decided to just end it there and then. And what we now get to do with you as a band is to celebrate not just Dave Shepherd, but the history of the band generally and the other members of the band who've gone before as well. And the long, you know, it's going to be, it gives people a chance for a bit of a longer goodbye. And with that, we wish you all the best. And of course, we grieve for the loss of Dave Shepherd, but we also celebrate the thing that he was part of for so very long. And it's it must have been nice for you personally to have been on those 38 years on and off as the band has ebbed and flowed with Dave Shepherd.
Absolutely. No, it was it is and was a phenomenal honour to be able to play with somebody so knowledgeable and so creative and just a brilliant human.
Fantastic. Well, Andy, thank you very much. We know you've just got back from tour yourself, and very much appreciate your time.
And I'm just off on tour as well.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. May it ever be thus until you don't want it to
be. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Andy, and we'll leave everybody with Dave Shepherd's wonderful composition, The Rose of Raby, played here by Blows at Bella. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah.